Let's look at Matthew chapter 9. And I like to read, starting in verse 35, and just get a feel of what happened in Jesus' day, how this applies to house church planting, how this applies to being a spiritual father or a spiritual mother. In chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages. He was teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease. Amazing time. All the miracles were happening as all the people were watching Jesus, following him. Just fantastic. And then verse 36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And that's such a key, planning house churches. We don't start house churches because we want to start some new thing. We start because we have a compassion God gave us for people. We just want to see people's lives change. We want to see people draw closer to Jesus. So it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now here we go again. Sheep need shepherds. That's why we need to start churches. That's why we need to start house churches. There are millions of people in this world, millions who have come to Christ and are not solidly connected to a church. So when you look at planting a house church, first of all, we're looking at the unsaved or come into the kingdom, become part of the house church. But also, there can be many people who they've made a commitment to Christ, but they haven't really grown much. I understand that. When I was age 11, I made a commitment to Christ. I grew very little until I was 18, made a fresh commitment to the Lord, and then got involved in a small group Bible study, kind of a house fellowship, and that changed my life. And I've never been the same since. So he says here, they were helpless like sheep without a shepherd. We need shepherds. Then he said to his disciples, here's what I want us to see in verse 37. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So we need to pray and say, Lord, there's a harvest. We need workers for the harvest. So as you're praying, you want to start a house church. As you're praying, ask God for two kinds of people. Asking for laborers for the harvest and asking for new believers to come into the kingdom of God. If you have all these new believers and you're the only mature one, it's going to be very difficult. You can only disciple so many people because most house church leaders are bivocational. They have an enterprise of some kind. They have a job of some kind. They have a business of some kind. So we obviously need laborers for the harvest. Now, it's interesting what happened when you go to the next verse, which is chapter 10, verse 1. He then called his 12, gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and heal every disease and every sickness. Now, who were the ones that he had called? Who were the ones who were the harvesters? Well, the harvesters, initially, they were simply those who were with him. So when you have a house fellowship or a house church, and you're starting, you become a spiritual father, spiritual mother, and you're training others to become spiritual fathers and mothers, they will be the harvesters for the next generation. I believe we're living in a time in history when God's going to pour out His Spirit in amazing ways. I know that the Joel prophecy that was confirmed in Acts chapter 2 in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams. I know some of that was fulfilled then. I know there were other times in history, church history, where there's great revivals where God did that again. I believe He's saving the best for last. But I believe we're in a season right now where what the Lord is doing, He's saying, look, there's a harvest coming. Prepare the fields, prepare the people, the laborers, prepare the barn, so to speak, for the harvest is coming. See, I grew up a farm boy. And these farming analogies have helped me so much. And in the winter where I live, there's lots of snow often. We've had snow up to the top of our door and we couldn't get out of our house. In the summer, it's very hot. But harvest time is summer. Springtime, we plant. We have four seasons here in America where I live. And in the springtime, you plant the crops. In the summer, they grow end of summer and beginning of fall is when you have harvest time. Then you go into the depths of winter, where it's very, very difficult, called very, very cold. But you know what happened when I was young? My father, who's in charge of the farm, and I was helping him on the farm, he said, Larry, we got to get the barns prepared. We have to get the equipment prepared. We need to get the barn ready because next summer there will be a harvest. So I mean, now's the time to prepare for the harvest. Now's the time to take the mantle from the Lord to be a spiritual father, a spiritual mother, and begin to train others to do the same. You know, we can take them through CLI, we can take them through Bible schools, all those things that are extremely important, but they also need personal mentoring. They need to watch you be a spiritual father, you be a spiritual mother, and then they'll also be learning to do the same thing. So now's the time that we're preparing the way for the harvest that God's going to bring, I believe, to our planet, and we can trust Him to do that. So, but now's the time to prepare for the harvest that's coming. Now, Let me talk to you a bit more about, get a bit deeper into what it means to be a spiritual father or a spiritual mother, because this is something we model. God the Father modeled it for us. Jesus modeled it. Paul modeled it. Paul had Timothy and Titus and Aquila and Priscilla and Silas. He had all those that he mentored, and they're mentoring the next generation. See, God isn't just calling many of you to start a house church. He's calling you to start a house church that starts house churches that starts house churches. But everyone needs leadership. And those in leadership need to be those who have this call from God to be just to love people, have compassion for people, be a spiritual father and spiritual mother. They say, what does a spiritual father and mother look like? Well, in many ways, a spiritual father is like a natural father in a lot of ways. A natural father is a protector to the family, is a counselor to the family, a guide to his children. And like a mother, obviously, I mean, a spiritual mother, obviously, much the same. And if children lack a role model, both naturally and spiritually, often it's difficult for them to achieve their destiny. So we want to see this curse of fatherlessness that we've been talking about the last few sessions. We want to see this broken. This curse has come in this generation, but God says, last days, I'm going to change hearts. Turn the hearts of fathers to children, children to fathers. I want to be on board with what God the Father is doing, so my heart can also be changed. You know, there's a term we use in America, it's called absentee dads. It's when there's no father in the family, they're absentee dads. And you know, I find there's a lot of absentee dads in the church, and God wants to change that. House church is a simplistic model for us to see spiritual fathers and mothers release. So, what God's doing today, God is restoring a sense of responsibility for us, not just to be great teachers or, you know, many pastors, all they think about is, well, we have to get a sermon, you know, we have to have a staff and all those things, and that may be part of it for you, depending on what God's called you to do, but there's something much deeper. It's our relationship with God and a relationship with those disciples, those spiritual sons and daughters that God's given us. There are scriptures all over there's Bible verses all over the Bible who talk about this. I'm going to continue to give you some of these scriptures. One would be Psalm 68 in verse 6. God sets the lonely in families. Now, usually you think that's speaking of the orphan. Well, it is, but there are many spiritual orphans. And God wants to set them in families. I think one of the most productive families could be the family of God, which comes to a house church family. Because God is restoring family to his church. I remember being in Eastern Europe one time, driving to the airport with a man who had been involved in seeing God do amazing things in the nation. But he said, praise God, finally at this point in my life, he said, God's brought spiritual fathers into my life because something had shifted and something had changed. There are many examples of spiritual fathers and mothers in the scriptures. For example, Jesus the 12, or Jesus, Peter, James, and John the 3. There's Paul to Timothy, Elijah to Elisha, there's Moses to Joshua. Again, the list can go on and on. And you see this family connection in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. And, of course, in the Old Testament, you have the tribes and the clans and the families. In the New Testament, you have people met in house to house. As we keep talking about the 2020 vision, Acts 2020, Paul said, I met you publicly. And then he said, I've ministered publicly, and also he said to you, house to house. But bottom line is it's all built on relationship. I've been asking a young generation everywhere I go. I love a younger generation. I've been asking them, what are you looking for in the church today? What are you really looking for? And they tell me, and depending on their culture, they might say it in a different way, four basic things. If you're a young person, you see if this does not apply to you. See, number one, I'm looking for relationship. They want real Christianity with this real relationship. They don't want to just be part of a meeting or a system. Number two, they say, I want authentic Christianity. I just want people to be real. I want this to be authentic. Number three, they say, I want the freedom to be creative. House church is extremely open for creativity because every house church, even though there are some common denominators, they all look different. And that, so creativity obviously is expressed there. And number four, interestingly enough, young men and women tell me, I'm looking for intergenerational connections. I don't want someone, just recently someone told me, I don't want someone to tell me what to do, but I want someone to be there to bounce things off of and to be there to mentor me and help me fulfill what God's placed in my life. Now, here's the blessing of it all. Spiritual fathering and spiritual mothering meets each of these needs, and house church is a great new wineskin that'll cause these needs to be met in the younger generation. But house church isn't just for the young, it's for all generations, and I'm so glad you're part of this course so we can learn more about this. Now let's turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12, 13, and 14. And I'm going to read this, make a few comments on it, and then we're going to come back in the next session and really dig into this. 1 John chapter 2, 12, 13, and 14. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who's from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you've known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who's from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you've overcome the evil one. Now, we see in this scripture, just these verses 12, 13, and 14, three different categories of believers in Jesus Christ. We see spiritual babies, spiritual children. We see spiritual young men, I say young men and young women. And we see spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers. Now, the goal is that, both naturally and spiritually,